Welcome to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson, a space designed to help you create amazing relationships with yourself and others. Get ready to experience hope, love, and inspiration. Here's your host, Kim Wilson.
Hi, I'm Kim Wilson, your relationship expert. Thank you for joining me. Today we're talking about moving on and letting go. I'm passionate about this topic because I meet so many amazing people who disconnect from their happiness because they struggle with moving on and letting go of relationships and the past. Some of the reasons why people struggle with letting go is fear of not being able to replace whatever it is they lost. Also, resentment, anger, fairy tale thinking. And when I say fairy tale thinking, believing that something is going to come back when it will not, because it's gone, it's done, it's complete. So today, I'm going to provide you with tips and information to help you move on if you're struggling with letting go, or even if you know someone else who is struggling. Because sometimes we want to help people and we just don't have the language to do so. So we feel a little hesitant to encourage and support them because we don't want to get it wrong. We don't want to say the wrong thing. Well, you don't have to worry about that, because today I'm going to give you some words that can assist you in helping somebody else. One of my favorite quotes is by Albert Einstein, and it goes, "No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it." So what that means is, when we're trying to sit inside of a solution, we have to have a different mindset. We need a different perspective, which is why I love surrounding myself with people who think differently than me. I don't want to be surrounded by a lot of people who think and see things the way that I do. When you have people around you who think differently, it challenges you, it teaches you, and trains the brain to adjust to information. How do we move on and how do we let go? The first thing is prepare that mind to have a shift, to change. And it starts with acknowledging the power within you. We all have a certain amount of power within us. It never goes anywhere. It's always there. The only thing that changes is sometimes we forget that it's there. It never leaves you. If you have a heartbeat, honey, and if you have a brain, that power is there. That power of choice, the power to choose differently for yourself, to choose better, to choose more. People can steal your shoes. They can steal your shirt. They can steal your money. They can even cut your hair while you're asleep. But one thing they cannot do is steal the power that you have within. You have to give that away. You have to just give that up and give that away. People just cannot take your power. I see it this way. Now, this may sound like a far-fetched analogy, but hang with me. So I believe the only way a pimp is established and gains a relationship to a prostitute is because he or she, meaning the prostitute, gave away their power. They said, "Here, tell me what to do. Tell me what to think. Tell me what to feel. Tell me where to go. Tell me when to blink my eyes." Okay. There was the power of choice there. They had to give and offer that power to another individual in order for them to have it. So the first step is acknowledge that power and know that it is there and it will serve you well. The reason why that step is so important is because if you do not acknowledge, understand, recognize, or identify that the power is available for you to use it, you won't reach for it and use it. Have you ever gone to the store and bought something and you got back to the house and you started putting things up and you realized, wait a minute, I already had a bag of flour. I already had two tubes of toothpaste. That's because you did not look to see what you had. You did not acknowledge, verify, check, identify what was there. So it was already there, you just didn't know it, which is why we stop, take a pause, and acknowledge to see what we have. Secondly, acceptance. Acceptance of the situation. Accepting that, okay, this is my reality, this is what's going on, whether you are going through a divorce, a relationship is ending, you have lost your job, your money has changed, that chapter is done. Just being able to look at that and accept that. And what that does is it helps dealing with denial, and it prevents you from sitting inside of denial. You know, a lot of times people will, and they don't always know that they're doing it, they will use denial as a coping mechanism. But somewhere in their mind, there's a message created that, oh, it's not as bad. Oh, they'll come around. Oh, I'm sure they'll call me back. But when we sit inside of acceptance and say, you know what? This is my reality. This is the situation. It's time. It's part of letting go. And let me tell you, there are several layers and steps to letting go. You're not just going to let go that one time. So say for instance, if I lost something, let's say I had a job that I was connected to for 20 years. First, I have to let go of I am no longer employed with that company. Then I have to let go of the relationships that I had with my coworkers. Then I have to let go of maybe the place that I went to lunch every day for 20 years and the people that I met in the surrounding businesses. Then I have to let go of the drive. Maybe I had a scenic route to work and I so enjoyed my drive in and my drive out, letting go of that. Then I may have to let go of the company picnics that I love and I spearheaded every year, and all of the projects that I was connected to. There are a lot of things that I'm letting go of. So it's a process. And I want you to just kind of hang on to the word process, because that's the message that we have to tell ourselves when we are moving on and letting go. Like, okay, Kim, this is a process. You're not just going to snap your fingers and everything is said and done. When you think about how food comes from the farm to the table, we don't just start chomping down on a piece of lettuce. It takes time. You know, we had to prepare the earth first before and plant that seed before anything we start enjoying a piece of food. So such is the same when moving on and letting go. It is a process before we start to develop a different normal, a new way of thinking, a new way of doing things. But as long as you know you have the power within, the power of choice to create a new chapter for yourself. Also, one of the advantages to sitting inside of acceptance is it avoids us living in the past, holding on to the past. When we hold on to the past, what's happening is it's holding you back from embracing and going forward and walking inside of opportunities. So that's one of the reasons why we embrace acceptance, because we want to be able to move forward. Just even listen to the word opportunity. Listen to how that's soothing to the ear. I know it's soothing to my ear. When I hear opportunity, I think of sunshine. I think of a new beginning. There's this message in my head, Kim, you can so do this. You have this. You got this. The next thing is take a step. Taking a step is about creating action. That's what create changes. Action steps. And sometimes your action steps may look like calling somebody, seeking counsel. And let me just tell you, and I say this all the time on the show, seeking counsel is about being able to release, express, discuss. And even if it means, if you feel like you don't have a safe space, you're not comfortable in talking to a friend, a family member, or a colleague, don't be afraid of therapy and counseling. A lot of times, we think that counseling, seeing a therapist or a psychologist, is, quote unquote, they think I'm crazy, or I'm not crazy. Seeing a psychologist or a counselor or even your pastoral counselor is not about being crazy. Entering therapy is about what you want to change about your thoughts, your feelings, what you want to adjust or keep the same. When you think about somebody who's physically fit and they still have a personal trainer, that personal trainer is really helping them to maintain where they are, or even challenge where they are so they can continue to grow physically. So the person, by the time they connected with the physical trainer, with a fitness trainer, yeah, I had that right. By the time they connected with a personal trainer, there was nothing wrong with them. Everything was right about them. They wanted to keep it right. Just because you decide to connect with a therapist, if there's that thought in your head that something is wrong with me, it's not about what's wrong with you. It's about what you want to change about you. Another thing that we can do is doing something for ourselves. Find something else to fall in love with, something else to do. That's part of moving on. It represents moving on. Whether you are learning a new skill, taking a class, that's you moving. You're actively involved in something. Give your mind something to do. And a lot of times when our mind is idle and we are not talking to anybody, honey, you talking about somebody can get in trouble. Because when you isolate that mind and it's not being stimulated by others, the perspective of others, giving you a different way to see things, giving you information so you can feel differently and you can make those adjustments. Yes, we really can get in trouble. So part of moving on and letting go, actually, it is a major part, taking a step, moving, do something, give the mind something to do. The heart has to have a reason to beat. Now, this last one, this is a biggie. Every time I talk about forgiveness, that concept sometimes is the most difficult for people to connect to. Yes, forgiveness. One of the reasons why people struggle with moving on and letting go sometimes because they're angry. And then even if a person tried forgiveness, it's like, you know what? I did forgive them. I did. But it's just like, when I saw them the other day, everything just came up for me again. Or when I heard their voice, I just started, you know, or they did the same thing. I forgave them once and now they're saying the same thing to me. Well, yes, forgiveness is one of those things that you may have to do over and over again. But most importantly, what you're doing is you're forgiving yourself for forgiving that person. And remember, there's that power that you have within you, that power to choose to say, you know what, Kim? You can do this. You can forgive them. And what you're doing is you are eliminating this space in your heart where anger and frustration is taking up space. That's a negative emotion. So when you think about interacting with someone that you really care about, they don't have all of your heart. The reason why they don't have all of your heart is because now there's anger and frustration taking up part of that space. So part of you is automatically off limits to people because anger sits there, hurt sits there, disappointment sits there. And the tool that you would use to get rid of that is forgiveness. We've talked about a toolbox in previous podcasts, but let me just give a quick explanation of that. I always think it's best for us to go through life with a toolbox. And what I mean by that is this mental toolbox that sits inside of our brain. So if we wanted to hang a picture on the wall, if I use a nail, the tool that I would use to put that nail in the wall is a hammer. If I wanted to cut a piece of cheese, the tool that I would use is a knife. Now, let's relate that to what we're talking about today. If I wanted to release myself of anger or stop being frustrated with someone, the tool that I would use is forgiveness. I will also use love. Love is connected to forgiveness. So I like to think in terms of walking through life with your toolbox. I don't leave home without my toolbox, honey, because I have to always be ready to respond to people in love. You can either make a choice to respond in fear or respond in love. And so I just want to read this quick little story. And I think it paints a really great picture of what happens when we don't let go. I'm going to read a page and a half from this book called The Way of Letting Go by Wilma Dirksen. And there's an introduction in there by Malcolm Gladwell that I want to read. I think it's a very interesting story. So it starts, "Some years ago, I met a man named Mike Reynolds. I went to his home in Fresno, California, and sat in his study as he told me the story of what happened to his 18-year-old daughter, Kimber, 20 years before. She had been out to dinner with a friend in downtown Fresno when she was set upon by two young men, both convicted felons. They shot her in the head. She died a day later. On the wall behind Reynolds, there was a photograph of Kimber. In the kitchen next door, there was a painting of Kimber with angel wings ascending to heaven. I literally held her hand while she was dying," Reynolds said. "It's a very helpless feeling. At that moment, he told me he made a vow. Everything I've done ever since is about a promise I made to Kimber on her deathbed. I told her, I can't save your life, but I'm going to do everything in my power to try and prevent this from happening to anybody else." What Reynolds did was start a public campaign to dramatically stiffen California's criminal penalties. It was called Three Strikes. Criminals convicted of their second offense would see their sentence doubled, and the measure called for those convicted of their third offense, regardless of how serious it was, to face a mandatory prison time of 25 years to life. Reynolds led a statewide referendum on Three Strikes. He won. Three Strikes passed into law in California, beginning a two-decade experiment into punitive justice without parallel in the modern developed world. California spent billions of dollars on new prisons on a per capita basis. California, by the turn of the century, had seven times as many people behind bars as Canada or Western Europe. People received life sentences for the most trivial crimes, in one case, for stealing a slice of pizza. When the measure was finally repealed in 2014, the consensus among criminologists was that the law had achieved almost none of its goals. It had locked up thousands of people at great social and financial cost with no discernible effect on California's crime rate. Over the years, many people have come to Fresno to speak to Reynolds about Three Strikes and his daughter's death. It is Reynolds' habit to take his visitors to the Daily Planet, the restaurant where his daughter ate before she was killed across the street. "I heard about one of those visits before I made the same journey. Reynolds had gotten into an argument with the restaurant's owner. She told him to stop bringing people around on tours. Reynolds was harming her business. 'When will this be over?' she asked him. Reynolds was livid. 'Sure, it's hurt her business,' he said, 'but it's wrecked our lives. I told her it will be over when my daughter comes back.'" See, I want to stop it right there. His daughter is not coming back. And that's where the problem is. And that's where a different perspective is needed. So now his hurt and his pain, it has not only hurt him, but the restaurant owners and several other people. And when he brings people to that spot, he's bringing them to that spot to see where his daughter was murdered, but it's not creating any solutions. It's just what it does. It makes him relive that pain. And I just want to read this last part. "Reynolds wanted to take me," and this is the owner, the author talking, "Reynolds wanted to take me to the Daily Planet as well. I said, no. This was 2.5 hours after I first sat down for our interview, and the intensity of his emotion was too much for me. I could not find in him even the slightest hint of peace, forgiveness, or reconciliation with what had happened. Reynolds reached across the table and placed his hand on my arm. "Do you carry a wallet?" he asked. He handed me a passport-sized photo of his daughter that was taken a month before Kimber was murdered. Maybe set that there and think about that when you open your wallet. Sometimes you need to put a face with something like this. His daughter had been dead for 25 years, but to Reynolds, it was as if it had just happened. That kid had everything to live for, to have something like this happen, to have somebody kill her in cold blood like that. It just has to be stopped. That afternoon in Fresno broke my heart. His heart was broken because he saw a person who was stuck, who had not moved on and let go. And the thing is, because he was seeking vengeance, he created even more sorrow and suffering for himself. And especially with the three strikes law, because people who may have done something very trivial, spent life in jail. They couldn't be rehabilitated and be an asset to society. Sometimes people lose their way, and I certainly believe people can be rehabilitated. The purpose of reading that story is to show you the power of being stuck when we don't move on and we don't let go. You can do it. The only thing you have to do, or if you know someone who is struggling with this, first, acknowledge the power that you have within. Secondly, accept the reality of the situation. That keeps you from living in denial and is part of letting go. And remember, there are going to be several things that you have to let go of within that step of letting go. Thirdly, take a step. That step may be seeking counsel, such as entering therapy, taking a class at your local community college, learning a new skill, going swimming. If you're not used to doing that on a weekly basis and you wait to the summer to take a swim. Just a quick story. My sister had a birthday last month, and when I called her to wish her a happy birthday, she was at the aquarium. And I was so proud of her for taking herself to the aquarium and not waiting on anyone to make her day special. Sometimes we connect to this idea that somebody has to do something for us in order for our birthday to be special, or any other day we consider a special day, like a holiday. I was happy to see her moving on with her day and letting go of any tradition. And last but not least, forgiveness. I know forgiveness can feel tough because we want people to be held accountable, especially if we feel like they have wronged us. Something has been taken away from us. And don't forget the quote by Albert Einstein. No problem can be solved from the same consciousness that created it. Well, my amazing listeners, we did it. If you want more from me, I have more. The only thing you have to do is go to my website, click on the contact form to get on my email list. Whenever I have something going on, you'll be the first to know it. If you are a woman listening to this podcast, I have created a new group on Facebook. It's called Journey with Kim Wilson. It's all about helping you to get your more. Every week, I'm putting out information and resources, and I go live on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Well, we did it. See you next time. Onward, upward, and beyond.
Thank you for listening to the Amazing Relationships Podcast with Kim Wilson. Want more? Visit kwspeaks.com. That's kwspeaks.com for the latest inspirational blogs.